Turn your Bibles, please, to John 8. Difficult passage today. A difficult passage because it's a passage where Jesus has to get tougher and tougher in the things he says to the people he's talking to. And he's talking to people that are his traditional enemies. And if you think about God's enemies, then I think the ones we see treated as badly as enemies by God are those that say that they love him but don't really love him. In other words, hypocrites. But let's read together this whole chapter, and we'll come back and have a look at it. In verse 12, chapter 8, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you have no idea where I came from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right because I'm not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two men is valid, but I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put, yet no one seized him because his time had not yet come. Once more, Jesus said to them, "I'm going away, and you'll look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." This made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" But he continued, "You are from below, I'm from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins." "Who are you?" they asked. "Just what I've been claiming all along," Jesus replied. "I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I heard from him I tell the world." They didn't understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, "When you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you'll know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you're ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I've seen in the Father's presence, that you do what you have heard from your Father." I'm going to read that again. "I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your Father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you're determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God, and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is you do not belong to God."
Now,
I find this a discouraging passage to read. And here we have Jesus, our Lord, the God we worship, our Savior, and he's having a conversation with some people and people that are not viewed very well in the Bible, and people who thought that they were following God. And the first thing I want to tell you about this, and it's a challenging thing for me, is that if I'm going to identify with one of the parties in this conversation that we read, it won't be Jesus. I'm more likely to be like the Pharisees or the Jews than I am to be like Jesus. So if we're looking for a message from God in what we're reading today, then let's look at our hearts and see in what way. Just as Peter said, you know, in what way do we push Jesus away when we sin, when we have sin in our life? And it's such a fact that we do those things, that we do that. And so let's think, how do we tend to try and disprove Jesus or make Jesus more less true in our lives so that we don't have to face ourselves so much? In other words, let's have a look at ourselves and say, well, where do I stand in this as we go through this? There are four messages. Let's set the scene a little further though. We're in about AD 30 AD. Jesus is close to the time when he goes to the cross. He's in September or October in Jerusalem, and it's the Feast of the Tabernacles that he's just been in, or he's still in. He's in the temple after that Feast of the Tabernacles. The Feast of the Tabernacles celebrated a couple of things. Firstly, the harvest, and so they would celebrate the fact that they have a harvest, that they have food, that they have, and the Jews even now still do it, and they think about Jews all around the world, and you know, all that sort of stuff, and an idea of solidarity and praying for each other and that sort of stuff. But they also remember how God looked after them and provided for their needs during the time in the wilderness when they were brought out of slavery in Egypt and spent time in the wilderness before they went into the promised land. And at that time, God went before them in a pillar of fire at night, a pillar of cloud during the day. And so during this feast, which lasts for 7 or 8 days, I'm not clear. I think it's eight days. And it lasts for that time. And during that time, in the temple in Jerusalem, they had four lamps. I don't know how to describe them, but they were maybe braziers or candelabras or something like that. They were over 70 feet tall, each of them, and each of them had branches, and they were supplied with oil to just keep them burning. And so they kept this lamp burning as a memory of how Jesus kept the pillar of fire burning to lead his people through the wilderness. And so that's where we are, celebrating that. And they're celebrating God's protection. And then Jesus gets up and says, let's read it again in verse 12. When spoke to them of people again, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in darkness. And maybe we can talk about the ways in which we can be in darkness. But if you've ever been in darkness, you know, if you ever had that sort of darkness where you actually can touch the darkness, it's so dense where you can't see. I went down 1,100 feet into a mine in Fiji, and there's no light down there. There's absolutely no light. It's almost like the darkness is impenetrable. They have lights, of course, and so you're not lost. But if the lights are switched off, which they did. There's just nothing. There is nothing to guide you, and you don't know. You can't, or you don't know whether you can feel gravity still, but you don't know where you are in relation to walls, or there is just no clue, and it's totally disorienting. I think spiritually, darkness is also totally disorienting. But of course, Just as sometimes we have in darkness, we have other clues like sound and that sort of thing to help us. I think sometimes in spiritual darkness, we still think that we can navigate our way and we fool ourselves. And then the darkness becomes even more dangerous. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He's saying, okay, you've been watching this lamp for the last 8 days, remembering God. And he says two things. He says, I am the light. And he begins with the I am. And the I am, when you say it in Hebrew, Aramaic, I'm told, is sonorous. It booms like and reminds you of the voice of God. And so he's saying, I am. And if someone gets up and says, I am, then he's really claiming, as Jesus does here, he's saying, I am God. In 1 John, let's go to 1 John together. Come on. 1 John 1:5. And John, the same John who writes the gospel that we're reading now, says this later. He says, this is a message we've heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Let's go to John 3. John 3, not 1 John 3. And it's in the conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus. And in verse 19, he says this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. I love this idea of light. I love the idea of being with God, being with Jesus, having your sins forgiven and not being worried about what will be seen in your life. And there's a very insecure time we have stumbling around in the darkness where we don't know what's going to happen. We do know, you know, theologically that sin will separate us from God, that we can't go to God, that we cannot be with God with sin. And so the only way we can do anything about it is to have it forgiven. We can't atone for it. We can't make up for it. We can't pay for it. We go to God with a huge debt and he just forgives it. And then we step into light. You know, I want to ask you what you think about this light thing. I want to ask you to think about it. I want to ask you to think about having been forgiven of your sins. Are you still walking in the light? Are there little areas of darkness that come into your life? I remember having a camera once that had a lens that had this little spot that came on every picture I took. I couldn't figure out what it was, but then I finally realized that there was a little spot in the lens that came onto every picture I took. And I wonder whether there's that sort of things in my life, that there's a little spot in my soul that is colouring everything that I do. And it's worth looking for. And it's worth looking for in things like, well, what's your attitude to how you look? Are you a little bit absorbed with how you look and what people think of how you look? Are you perhaps a little bit absorbed with how much money you have or how much financial security you have? Are you a little bit absorbed with how your relationships are, how your marriage is, how your family relationships are? Are you a little bit concerned about whether maybe you are a bit selfish or not giving enough? Yeah, are you really concerned about whether you are a little bit loving, a little bit unloving? I'm sorry. You know, are those little areas of darkness where you don't want the light to shine? Are there areas that you'd like to have totally open to everyone, but you're a little bit embarrassed about the way they are? Yeah. Right at the moment, I don't want anyone to see what it says on my bathroom scales. because I'm a little bit embarrassed about, I'm having too much weight on. I have to do something about it. A little bit of darkness. Now I can actually, you know, just use that as an example. I know what I need to do. I need to, you know, watch my diet and have regular exercise and lose weight. I know that, and I'm happy for you to encourage me about that. But I can let a little bit of darkness come in and let's not talk about it. Let's not even think about it. Let's just have a little bit of darkness, and the rest of it can be light. But I don't want to talk about my weight. Thank you very much. Do you know what I mean? Does that happen in our lives? Are we a little bit concerned about some decision we've made, or some statement we've made, or some conversation we've made? Are you having a little bit of a grudge against somebody? Because Jesus says, if you can't forgive people, then He can't forgive you. Is that going on in your life? Or is it total light? Because here's the challenge. It needs to be total light. It needs to be total light. Because if you're with Jesus, you'll never walk in darkness. You'll be walking in the light. But as it said in 1 John, if we say that we're in the light, but we harbor these things that belong in the darkness, we're lying, we're deceiving ourselves. And so we need to do that. Well, what did the Pharisees say? I heard this news about he's the light of the world, and if you follow him, you'll never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And the Pharisees were so fired up. No, they weren't. They challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. How can we believe what you say? Because you're speaking of yourself by yourself. And they have no spiritual view of things. And so they don't realize, they don't accept that Jesus is saying, no, well, my Father is testifying for me. And so there's two of us. And so for them, that's just a joke. Or not acceptable. And they begin to hate him. Already have. Here's Jesus Christ, Savior, God, has already turned water to wine in chapter 2, fed the 5,000, walked on water, calmed the storm, healed a cripple who'd been crippled for 38 years. What more do they want from him? What more do they want? I get the impression that it didn't matter what Jesus would say, that they weren't going to be accepting of what he said. And so they challenged him. There are four decisions that Jesus asked us to make, or asked the Pharisees to make. Four things to think about. And as we go through the text, please remember that we are most likely to be like the Pharisees. Those things creep in. The legalism creeps into our lives. You know, self-righteousness creeps into our lives. It happens. And so who do we need to look at here? Let's look at ourselves. So each decision involves a choice to listen and be saved, or to confirm your salvation, or ignore the advice and sit in darkness and danger and not be saved, or perhaps eventually lose your salvation that you have now. I don't think we can treat this as being very not serious. The first decision is, are we going to walk in light or darkness? We looked at John 3:19-21. It's clear from what we read that it's evil that keeps us in the darkness. It's evil that wants to be in the darkness. It doesn't want to be in the light. It doesn't want to be exposed. And so if we want to hang on to our sin, our little foibles perhaps, we'll want to keep them a little bit dark. We won't want to talk about them. You like me, I won't want to talk about my weight. You know, let's talk about anything else, but let's not talk about my weight, because I know I need to do something about that. Are you with me? What is that area in your life? I don't see many fat people, so it may be not that. for you. But we can stumble around darkness. You know, sometimes the darkness might be man-made religions. You know, there are man-made religions where some of the members of the religions are convinced that if they commit suicide and blow other people up, that they'll be pleasing to God. That's darkness. There is darkness like Hinduism, where you have to endlessly perform rituals and please an unknown number of gods, you know, and never be able to follow all the rules and always have this guilt and, you know, all these gods that can't be angered. That's darkness. And we've talked about some of the things that can keep us in darkness, but we don't want to be in darkness. We want to be in light. And so we've made that decision. Let's be in light. Second decision, and let's go on in verse 21, verse 23. And the decision is believe in Jesus or die. I told you it was getting tougher in his relationship with the Pharisees here. But he says this to them. Once more Jesus said to them, I'm going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you are from below, I'm from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. I told you you would die in your sins, and if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. Let's turn that around. Let's turn it, you know, let's the converse of that. Converse of that is, if you do believe in Jesus, if you do believe that Jesus is the Son of God and came to die on the cross for our sins and was raised on the third day, your sins will be forgiven if you're baptized. Have you got the idea? He said, so it's a choice. Am I going to just go on, or am I going to do something about my sin? Because if I die with this sin, I won't go to heaven. If I die with this sin, I will die. And what will stop us doing that? Well, just a stubborn heart. And maybe you know people in your life that do have this stubborn heart, and you've told them, you've studied the truth from the Bible, but it just doesn't come through to them. It just doesn't get through to them. And of course, what we need to pray for people is to have a soft heart, and that they'll respond to what God wants them to do. And that's our prayer for ourselves as well, that we want to do what God wants us to do and have a soft heart about that, so our heart can be easily moved. But there's no way we can deal with our sin without it being forgiven. There's no way we can have our sin forgiven without acknowledging that Jesus is who he says he is. We've done that. We've had our sin forgiven. Let's not let it creep back into our lives. So Jesus disagrees with the Pharisees. Then he gives them a harder choice. Accept God's rescue mission, Jesus, or end your life with sin, unforgiven. We don't want to be like that. When we get to near the end of our life, we want to clean things up. That's the time when you start to work out what's in your will and what's going to happen when you die and all those sorts of things. Hey, the only thing that really is important is that you're going to go to God. That's the important thing. And that's the only thing that your friends and neighbors need to be concerned about as well. Decision three is slavery or freedom. I want you to notice one thing as we read this. Now, I'll read it first, then we'll talk about it. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we're Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we should be set free? Jesus said, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And he goes on, and he tells them the good news. We'll come to that in a moment. Well, this is a bit of a funny text. This is a very important text to me. When I was studying the Bible, I wanted to understand what the Bible said, what God was teaching us, check it out, make sure it was true, and then make a decision for him. And then having studied this scripture during a time with Mike Fontenot, I suddenly realized, no, he's saying, obey my teaching, you're really my disciple, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I said, I have to obey first, and then. So it's a little bit, it's amazing to me. And here we have this discussion between the Pharisees and Jesus, and they give them some credit, maybe. They want to know the truth. They care about the truth. But he's saying, we're finding difficulty trusting you. Now I think Jesus says to them very clearly that you're from below, I'm from above. We're just not made of the same stuff. And so that's why you're having trouble understanding. But he still expects them to understand. And so he says to them, why can't you understand what I'm saying? Why can't you believe? And the answer for us in our unbelief sometimes is, why do we not just believe? Because if Jesus does provide them with some proof, then they're going to make a decision for God which is based on the proof and not on faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So at some point, we have to say, no, I have to have faith. In other words, you want to know whether the boat's going to float? Well, get in it. No, but I need to know if it's watertight. I need to know if there are holes. No, just get in it. And it'll float. Because you're following God. Do you know what I'm saying? It's almost like here's this big discussion between the Pharisees and Jesus, and if Jesus does what he says that what they say they want, which is prove it, they're never going to be happy anyway, because God's not going to be happy with them. Because God wants them to make a decision based on faith. God wants to be trusted. He wants his son to be trusted. He wants us to trust him. Yeah. Tell me, are you making decisions right now which involve you having faith? And have you sort of ducked? Are there things you think you need to do? I'm talking about maybe helping somebody, maybe spending some money on someone, on helping someone. I'm talking about maybe using your time to spend time with somebody and show them the Bible. I'm talking about maybe going to a shopping center and sharing your faith. Are you doing those? Are you ducking at the hurdle? Are you not getting to the point where you say, no, I just want to be faithful? Are you making faithful decisions? Because if we don't make faithful decisions, then we can't please God. It's impossible to please God without faith. Amen. So here's this ridiculous situation. Jesus expects them to say, oh, this is Jesus. This is the guy that fed the 5,000. I hope God doesn't mind me calling him guy. This is Jesus who fed the 5,000. This is the man who healed the guy who'd been crippled for 38 years. This is the man that turned the water into wine. Who does he say he is? Let's listen to that. What does the chief priest does in this area? Nothing. What have all the Pharisees done in this area? Nothing. What do they depend on for their relationship with God? That they are sons of Abraham. They turn the law into a straitjacket. They turn the law into rules and had forgotten about how much they were loved by God. And now they see God. They see the Son of God. They see the miracles. They see the signs. They don't recognize the Messiah. And now they say, we have never been slaves to anyone. Really? Well, what about Egypt? Were you slaves there for 400 years? Oh, I guess so. What about Babylon? Were you there for 70 years as slaves of the Babylonians? Oh, I guess so. And are you not, Jesus is saying right now, are you not slaves to your sin? I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, are there areas where you're losing? Are there areas where you're trying to fight the sin, but you're losing? Are there areas where you're giving in to anger? Where you're giving in to worry? Where you're giving in to things you just don't want to have as part of your life? And it's happening. And you say again and again, I've got to get on top of that. But you don't. Time to surrender again. It's time to go to God and say, God, I'm not winning. I'm not winning this. I need your help. You're the one. Forgive my sin. Give me a fresh start. And God is the God of fresh starts, brothers and sisters.
Come on.
Well, these guys, they're saying, no, too dangerous. I'm going back to Abraham as my father. And now they're slaves to sin. Sin is only forgiven by God. That's the only way to deal with it. And it's only forgiven through the blood of Jesus on the cross. It's interesting that these Jews keep objecting. God requires faith. God requires trust. They won't trust. They can't get right with God. That's just the way it's going to be. And so, you know, I want to say to them, I want to reach back through those 2,000 years of reading scripture and say, come on, guys, just get in the boat. Just get in the boat. And that's what we need to do as well. The fourth choice, we read in 42, 47. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and now I'm here. I've not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there was no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. He pretty much got to the point now where he's saying, it's because of who your father is. You've got to the point where you've allowed the devil to be your father and not Abraham. If you were Abraham's children, you would treat me the way I need to be treated, according to my father. But you're not. You want to kill me. You want to kill me. And so the choice for us, and here is this, I feel so insecure talking to you like this. But if we are in this, Jesus is talking to us. And he's saying to you, Peter, are you following me or the devil? And sometimes, you know, I've been in a situation where, well, I'm sort of in between. Maybe I'm not doing everything you want me to do, Jesus, because don't forget, you know, James in 4:17 says, hey, you know, if you don't do the things you know you ought to do, that's sin. And I say, hey, what am I like? What am I like? Am I the person I want to be? Am I doing what I want to do? Am I giving what I want to give? Am I loving the way I want to love? Am I being totally honest with myself about all of this? Because Jesus says, either you're following me or you're following the devil. That scares me to death. I don't want to get to that point. I want to get back to the point where live in darkness, light, that's where I want to be. Jesus says, great, stay in the light. You're okay. Don't worry about these other things I said to these Pharisees. Just stay in the light. Just be open. Something happens, a little bit of darkness comes in, just confess it, get it out, it's all done. You're in the light again. Let's be that way. I know that we have some people in the church. I know, and I pray for them. I know people that are in the church that have trouble with lying. I know that, and I hope it's not you. I know there are people that have problem with maxed out credit cards. I hope it's not you. I hope we're living disciplined lives. I hope we're living giving lives, kind lives. I hope we're not living lives that are full of endless good intentions and failure and guilt. I hope that we're winning. But if we're not winning, here's what I want to say. Just go back to God. You know, throw yourself on your face in front of him and say, God, I need help.
Come on.
I want to change. You know, whatever it is. Because there's nothing you can't go to God with. There's nothing you can't get in the boat with. I don't care, because I don't care what you think about the boat's going to float. Because God is in charge of physics here. I've had a difficult time getting to this point. But I want to say to you that God loves us in an unbelievable way. We tend, as a church, to treat it like, well, yeah, God loves. It's almost like the paint on your living room wall, because it's there. But I think we have to have a look at that daily and realize how much God loves us and how much he wants us to love him practically, which means walking in the light. Brothers and sisters, let's deal with the darkness. Let's stay in the light. Let's go to God together. Let's pray. Father, this is a difficult scripture, Father. I know you wanted us to get something out of it. I know, Father, it's a tough thing to get stuff out of, because it's very confronting for us, Father. And I know everyone in this room wants to live in the light, Father, wants to walk with you in the light, Father. I pray, Father, that we can be honest about it, about ourselves, with ourselves, Father, that we can deal with the things we need to deal with, Phil. Let there be an end to the things that offend you, Father. Let us live our lives in just total harmony with you, Father. We love you so much. We thank you for this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's stand and sing.